People of the world, it's The Brothers Talk with your hosts Rod, Scott, and Norm, and we're glad you join us each Friday wherever you listen to your favorite podcast to hear our take as three Black, unfiltered African-American men with no strings attached, giving voice to the most feared, most misunderstood, and most rarely heard from segment of the population on topics of interest to us for education, enlightenment, and entertainment. We're excited to continue spreading the message that promotes critical thinking and thoughtful conversations, advocating for social activism, and uplifting people everywhere. We're also inviting you to join us as we continue the work of encouraging and educating everyone with the edifying task of identifying, endorsing, and inspiring new and existing Black businesses and individuals for the empowerment and prosperity of our community. Send your comments, questions, and suggestions, and follow us on Facebook, on X, formerly known as Twitter, at The Brothers Talk, The Brothers Talk on Instagram, and you can email us, thebrotherstalk@gmail.com. And stay tuned for details about our YouTube channel, our upcoming book, and tour dates. And now on with this week's program. Welcome in once again to all members of the Brothers Talk family around the world, wherever you're listening in, and to all our first-time listeners as you join our worldwide household. We extend you a cordial invitation to join us in the ongoing battle to promote critical thinking and social justice activism. And don't forget to spread the word about the podcast and join us in the fight against those whose ongoing efforts are focused on keeping the masses dumbed down and indifferent to thinking for themselves. On to your weekly coronavirus awareness alert, because we care. This week in COVID, we want to discuss a disturbing trend across the country on two fronts that, while seemingly unconnected, require a deeper look. Now, it's plain to see that there's been a national movement by racist white supremacist conservatives and their blackface collaborators to roll back and do away with DEI, that's diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. But what's equally disturbing is that there's a parallel effort starting with the 45th occupant of the White House in attempting to remove funding from colleges that have vaccine and or mask mandates to protect their students and employees from getting COVID. So I'm sure you see the connection that both of these developments have the same source. And that, family, is why we have to be sure to vote at every opportunity, because as the saying goes, and it's never been more true, elections have consequences. And in this case, they could be deadly. So again, we say let's be smart and do what we can to keep from getting sick by sticking to what we know that works. Get vaccinated, get those boosters, wear a mask in crowded situations, wash your hands regularly, use plenty of disinfectants. And if you have children and you do get sick, stay home until the contagious period passes. Again, that's 5 days for COVID, 4 days for the flu, and 8 days for RSV from when you first notice you have symptoms. No one should end up unnecessarily in the hospital or worse from these preventable diseases. We can and we must do better. And now to my brothers in the struggle for critical thinking, Scott and Norm.
Thanks, Rod, and thanks, family, for your continued support. On the COVID front, as usual, people need to do what's necessary to protect yourself and your family. Social distancing, the CDC said we don't have to do that anymore, but I still try to. But wear your mask and get vaccinated, please. One thing I wanted to touch on, I think I said something about this last week on the last show, is what's happening with democracy. Every day, I'm seeing articles, I'm reading articles, and I'm seeing stories on TV where they're talking about, on the other side of the aisle, Republicans, yeah, I'm a registered Democrat, that they want this to become a dictatorship. They want Donald Trump to be the dictator of this country. And you need to ask yourself, what does that mean to you? How is that going to impact you and your family if anybody in this country become a dictator, but let alone this guy? How is that going to impact you? How are you going to deal with that? Is that something that you want to disrupt your life? If not, you need to get involved. Get out there and vote for the person that you think is not going to be a dictator. Norm?
I just want to keep the spotlight on Deion Sanders and the effect that he's had at Colorado since his first year of fully coaching. Student applications are up 68,000, over 20% since he arrived. Now, imagine that at our HBCU, especially like a school like Jackson State. We have to do a better job keeping our talent in our communities and our institutions. But again, I want to salute Deion for excellence. Rod?
I'm excited to welcome in our guest for this episode and my friend and brother, Mario Jarvis. He was born and raised in the Bronx, educated at Cardinal Hayes High School and then New York University. After working at Sikorsky Aircraft in Stratford, Connecticut, he left for a position at AT&T Bell Laboratories Administrative Systems in New Jersey, where he was employed for 23 years. After transitioning out, he found his most rewarding position as manager, university relations and programs for 3 years in the Newark public school system. He came back to AT&T Bell Labs for another 3 years, and then he went to work for Kaplan, Inc., the SAT math prep group. Mario has been a literacy tutor at Union County College, volunteer tutor at Plainfield Public Library, and most recently a math tutor for college algebra and pre-calculus at Bloomfield College. Brother Mario, welcome, and please say hello to the Brothers Talk family.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you to all the brothers. Glad to be here and looking forward to the conversation and discussion.
And I'm glad you're here, my brother, to help us shed light on and debunk the myth about the lack of Black male interest and involvement in the education pursuits of our young brethren. What's been your experience with this, even as we see a concentrated effort by the media to spread this false narrative? And that's been helped by the misleading programs like the former President Obama's My Brother's Keeper. What's your experience?
Well, in the school, in Bloomfield College, as an example, I'm one of several Black males there who have been involved in various aspects of math tutoring and at different levels. Of the three folks, including myself, that I'm thinking of, two are from Africa. I'm the only one born in this country. But they are committed, have been committed, to helping students in general and at every opportunity, Black men. At Bloomfield College, again, my most recent example, about 90% of the students are Black. A good part of those are from the Caribbean and Africa, and also this country. And so have that kind of experience at that place. Here in Plainfield, a couple years ago, there was a group of Black males trying to get a mentoring program together that had its challenges, but they were all Black males living here in Plainfield. Some were coaches, some were teachers, all identified the need to be trying to actively assist young men. In my bio, we talked about my work at University Relations and Programs at AT&T Bell Laboratories. As far back as the 70s, that company was trying to figure out how to increase the number of engineers and scientists. And out of those thoughts, spearheaded by a bunch of Black men in a world-renowned R&D community, came up with a series of scholarship programs, fellowship programs, summer intern programs that very few people have heard about, but were nationally known at the same time. So we can talk about details of that if it's pertinent, Ron, but that's some of the stuff I've experienced at a high level.
Why do you think that there is this perceived notion that Black males aren't available or they are not interested or, you know, they don't want to participate in mentoring other young Black males in mathematics and science?
I don't think the society sees Black men enough in those capacities. I don't think this is new. Our media still does not show it. We don't talk about it. We don't see many examples of it. So when someone comes out and says Black men need to be about it, that just goes out into a vacuum and no one's able to say, wait a minute, here's some information, or here's another experience, or here's this group of men doing this, or here's a group of men who did XYZ 5 years ago and been doing it ever since and have been doing it effectively. So I think it's lack of information.
And how do you think that we can get that information out there? Like the information that you're giving on this show, is it like doing more shows like this? Because it needs to be out there, because I think when people lead by example, then others are going to follow. What are some suggestions for how do we get the message out there that, you know, this is all fabricated, you know, this is not true, and they're minimizing Black men as usual again. So what do we do to curb that?
To curb it, I think I'm hearing your question. I'm going to hear your question maybe conveniently for me. I think, and it's not all on our shoulders, but I do think we need to find ways to get those stories out more, whether that means somehow having more control or more input into the decision-making process that results in us seeing images like it or not, this TV thing, this movie thing, this social media thing works. And so maybe how do we get more of these stories in the front of people's faces? But I think one of the fundamental challenges to that idea that I don't know how to solve, but it affected me in classrooms, how do you get people's attention span these days on anything?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? These phones have done a good job of taking over the mind share of these young people, not to mention some adults as well. Attention spans don't exist, so that needs to be addressed. But seeing more stories that tell the story of Black men doing things in support of things we think need to be supported for our survival and excelling in this country and in the world.
You know, I think you're absolutely right, Mario. And one of the things is a cultural issue for us as Black men, because we have all experienced the fact that we have tended to not so much care what the outside world thinks. That in essence, what I mean by that is we don't necessarily feel like we have to respond. But I think that makes it so much more convenient for the narrative to go out and without any kind of rebuttal, because just as we said earlier, that we know there's a concentrated effort on the side of media to portray us as uninvolved and absentee, et cetera. And so we know better, but we don't necessarily decide that, wait, we need to put a message out there that shows that that's not true. And so I think you're right on point that we have to start to seize more opportunities, whether it's podcasting, whether it's all other kinds of media, to insist that we be portrayed more accurately.
Mario, we have a local school system here that really, since the pandemic, has really set students back, and like 90% of the students are not on grade level for mathematics. I was wondering, the pandemic really set the educators and students back a bit here. What would you recommend to the administration in regards to addressing those issues?
Norm, I don't have a clue, okay? And I hate to admit that, but it's the truth. People whose jobs it is to handle this, to identify this problem and think of ways to solve it, don't seem to be on it. I'm dealing with a high school junior now who is still reeling from the effects of the COVID and need to transition, and how that didn't go well for her. She's not unique in that story. I lived through that COVID transition myself at Bloomfield College when it happened. Many students, most students, went through that. I don't see anyone doing much to solve that problem. I hear people are acknowledging the problem, for sure, but there are nevertheless students walking around here with grades that suggest they did well, and there's nothing that lets me, that when I work with them now, makes that true. There is oftentimes nothing that says they even know what they're being asked at a very basic level. At the same time, they're taking online a pre-calculus course.
You know, it's pretty refreshing, Mario, that one of the things that happens here in our forum is that you're willing to say that, in essence, hey, that's not at your pay grade, and that there are folks out there whose job it is to be focused on that, who are asleep at the wheel and not doing what they're supposed to. And the follow-up question for me is, do you think you're seeing more of that in our communities? What I mean is, is it more about our African-American Black students who are suffering from this versus what's going on in the suburbs? Because I would venture to guess that it's usually an issue of, is the funding available to address something like this versus the lack of funding that happens in the inner cities?
Rod, I think, and again, you all have seen my little quick and dirty bio. I've said I've been tutoring. Clearly, I'm not. I always hesitate when people try to call me a teacher. And I tell them, no, I did not go through that major or that course of study. I did not. But what I will answer you, I will answer you, Rod, is this way. My sense is, Rod, that although this pandemic was crippling, the better foundation you had when it happened, the better learning skills you had before it happened, the better you were. Because there were some students who were able to do online learning because the schools they went to had it. And I'm not saying that those were prep schools they went to. No, they were also inner city schools. But somehow the thought of being taught remotely was not totally foreign to them. And to the extent that our students oftentimes come from those situations. I think, I haven't seen data, but my gut kind of tells me that it was harder for them to make the transition. You want to expect that a student comes to a math class with paper and pencil. You want to expect that of a college freshman. Well, I will tell you that students would come to me asking for paper and pencil, and I would ask them about, why would you come to my math class with paper and pencil? And they would look at me like I was asking a real crazy question. So that is, again, if you weren't prepared for the pandemic really messed you up. Being prepared is too often a function of resources. And sometimes a function of the homes. I used to work in Newark Public Schools for something called Project Grad, where we were trying to raise the GPAs of students. I will tell you, this was a while ago, but I will tell you that when I got there and spoke to high school students about GPA, it was the first time they heard of GPA. Okay. So it's stuff like that. The pandemic, again, was crippling, but even more so, I think, for students who came not prepared to learn, not given the right support, or missing it. At Bloomfield College, I had this experience. Young man, an athlete, basketball player. First day of class, we say, hey, if you do homework and turn the homework in, it will represent a sizable part of your final grade. The lowest math grade this young man got was an 86. After that, they were low 90s, mid 90s. Homework submission was us just asking them to do about 8 problems, not 30 problems, 8 problems. And if you turned them in and it looked like you put an earnest attempt in, you'd get credit. Didn't have to be right. You'd get credit. This young man who got an 86 as his lowest score and 90s and other scores ended up getting a C for that course because he never handed in homework, as I just defined homework.
So there you have it. And so we're at that.
This is a huge problem.
Yeah, it is. And so obviously it's our commitment to raise these kinds of issues because we know that the solution is out there because you've got committed brothers like Mario Jarvis and others. And of course, we have all been in different mentoring capacities as well. And so we know we are making ourselves available, but we have to get the word out to a larger audience to realize that not only are we out there, but we are willing to help. And we need to engage with these young people because, as the old saying goes, they need it now more than ever. So let us know what you think in the comments, and we'll be sure to follow up. Brother Mario, thank you for coming into the Brothers Talk family den here, and you are welcome back anytime. I'm sure we'll be looking to get a follow-up from you at any time that you see some new development that you think is worthy of us bringing to the family's attention. In our Black Business Spotlight, meet Jasmine McCall, an African-American mom from Atlanta, Georgia, who made a bold move when she left her corporate job to pursue her passion on YouTube. Now she's earning over $105,000 a month as a content creator, according to an interview she granted on CNBC. What's more, she only works 2 hours a day. In 2021, she worked as a resource manager at Amazon and was earning $124,000 annually, while also dabbling in her side hustle of creating content about personal finance. She posted a YouTube video revealing how she boosted her credit score from 495 to 820 by fixing errors on her credit report. That video went viral, and 6 months later, she quit her Amazon job to focus on that side hustle with her husband, Jay, who later joined her, leaving his software engineering job. Now the power couple makes over $100,000 a month, mostly from digital products and YouTube ads. The best part is that she only works 2 hours a day. So check out Jasmine on her Instagram at IamJazzyMac. And remember, our ongoing Black Business Spotlight theme continues to be Let's Relaunch Black Wall Street Nationwide. And that's a wrap for this week's show. And remember to follow and share your thoughts with us by sharing your comments as well as your questions and show ideas to at the Brothers Talk on X, formerly Twitter, and catch us on Facebook, Instagram, or email us, thebrotherstalk@gmail.com. As always, God willing, we'll continue to keep our focus on the issues that impact our community as we stay on the path to a better future. And until our next episode, know that we sincerely appreciate your time and your interest, and you can rest assured we'll never take it or you for granted. And finally, let's all do better today, because that's all we really have.